The bag is packed with the sticks. The drinks are cold. And the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
I don't even know what I said in the postgame show because I was watching. I probably was talking about Bryson and Rory for all I know.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
Exciting Brewers game ends with a guy getting gunned down at the plate. And Stevens.
Rory took the lead!
Stevens on Brewers Live talking about Bryson's up and down.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue. Alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
Golf, I don't even want to say it's a moment, because golf's been hot since 2020. Everybody wants to talk about golf, everyone wants to play golf, and we're going to be treading a little lightly here. We want to be careful, because I don't want this to become political, although we're going to probably end up making fun of some political people, the two men fighting for the highest office in the land, as really the only time it got contentious at the presidential debate the other night is when these two went back and forth about their golf games.
What a time to be alive, Gabe Neitzel. When I say on this very program, one of us, this was truly one of us moments.
All right, let's go ahead. Here are some of the highlights from the exchanges that Donald Trump and Joe Biden had at the presidential election about their golf games last week.
I just won two club championships, not even senior, two regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart, and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way, and I do it. He doesn't do it. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He challenged me to a golf match. He can't hit a ball 50 yards.
Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a six. And by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a six handicap of all.
I was an eight handicap.
Yeah.
Eight.
Never.
But I had, you know how many? I've seen your swing.
I know your swing.
Okay, I think we need to break this down little by little.
There's a lot here.
There's a lot in that 40 seconds that we just heard. A lot to break down. So we start with this from Donald Trump.
Two regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart, and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way, and I do it.
He says in order to win a club championship, you have to be smart.
What does that even mean?
is that true?
You have to be an intelligent human, or you have to be a smart golfer? What does that mean?
I mean, I would just say you got to be a smart golfer, right?
Like you're plotting your way around, you're not trying to overtake a golf course.
Because Dustin Johnson has won a couple of major championships, which is a little more impressive than a club championship, right? And I don't think anybody's ever called Dustin Johnson smart. I don't think you need to be a smart person to win a club championship.
No, you just need to put the ball in the hole faster than anybody else and in a less number of strokes.
He also said that you have to hit the ball a long way, which, I mean, I guess that's all relative, but
what's a long way?
Yeah, like, again, it's all relative. Like, but those apparently are the two keys to, maybe that's where I've gone wrong in any club championship I've ever played in. I'm just not smart enough to win.
Yeah, I think that's my new excuse. You know, it's not the yips. I'm just not smart enough, Gabe.
Turns out I'm a dummy. I'm just not smart enough to be able to win and compete in these club championships.
Whenever I have a bad outing, not smart enough today.
Yeah, just I'm sorry. Just wasn't smart. I'll be smarter next time. I'll try harder next time.
I love that he led with that.
Right?
You have to be smart. You don't have to be good.
No.
You have to be smart.
Have to be smart, and you have to hit it a long way. And then we get to this retorts about a driving contest.
Challenged me to a golf match. He can't hit a ball 50 yards.
Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him.
This is the least interested that I would ever be in anything, is watching these two have a driving contest.
You'd be less interested in that than the original match between Tiger and Phil, because that was some terrible television.
Sure, but at least going into it, there was hope. Like, you don't have any hope of this thing being, like...
I'm not saying that I would pay pay-per-view, you know, the $20 that I spent years ago to watch Tiger and Phil, and it was the biggest waste of money I ever had. But if you're telling me if I could watch an Instagram reel of who hits the ball farther for 20 seconds, you know I'm going
to
watch.
Yeah, okay, but that's all you're willing to invest. Yes, it would have to be an Instagram reel. It would have to be a TikTok. We're talking about a bite-sized video.
How far do you think they both drive the ball?
So the one thing I will say about Donald Trump is, while I don't believe his handicap, and let's just go ahead and get to this part too, because, well, just vanity handicaps in general. Here's what Biden had to say about his handicap.
I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6.
Now, Trump at no point there says what his handicap is, but of course it made it out onto social media, and you can just look it up if you have the Gin app.
Yeah, because if you post scores regularly, your numbers should be updated for all to see. And you notice how I say if you post scores regularly?
Yes.
Everybody should know what type of golfer you are in that moment.
So Donald Trump, a handicap index of 2.5. The last score he posted, though, was from 2021. He has two scores in here from 2021, one just a 9-hole score, I think, where he posted a 45. And then he's got one from 2016, two from 2015, a bunch from 2014, some from 2013. But in order to get 20 scores, this goes all the way back to 2011.
Gabe is literally on his Gin app.
Yeah.
Going through every score that Donald Trump has posted on this account. Now, listen, I know some people have handicaps in different states.
Sure.
I think it's a terrible idea for anybody to have multiple handicaps, because the way these apps work,
yeah,
is that it crosses state lines. So yeah, whatever score you make, you put the drop down and you say, I played this round in Florida, I played this round in Wisconsin. And it all goes to the same place.
Correct. Like when I play my rounds in Vegas, I don't have like this Vegas handicap when I go out there every year. No, it's my handicap is my handicap. Also, the one thing I noticed, Donald Trump owns a bunch of golf courses. And yet, the course he keeps his handicap at is Winged Foot, which, don't get me wrong, like, that's a pretty good flex to be a member at one of the that golf club. But
I mean,
you own a bunch of golf clubs. Like, shouldn't you take pride and have
it should
your
be like Doral, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's got all these golf courses. He's got them overseas. He's got these golf courses everywhere. And yet, the one place, and the other thing that drives me crazy, all right? So if he says he won 2 club championships this year, enter those damn scores in your index. If you're out there playing rounds, enter your damn scores in your into the handicap app.
Because you are the problem in match play. As somebody who has to give up strokes, are the problem.
Let's be honest. These two would not be an issue in match play, because I do not believe that Donald Trump is a 2.5. I don't believe that Joe Biden's a 6.7.
Well, you know, this is a partisan program here, Gabe Neitzel, so we have to pick on Joe as well.
Oh, it's terrible.
A 6.7 is what he is listed at on the United States Golf Association
0% chance
website. When was it last updated? July of 2018. So... Ooh. Actually, you're right. I would love to play Joe right now.
I would love to play either of them. Off of Donnie, I'm getting like 3 strokes right now. Hell yeah.
You just call him Donnie. Hey, Donnie. Right when he tees up the ball. Like, oh, I love that.
And it's just unbelievable that
Biden's, you know, he'd be 86 by the end of his second term. He's not a 6'7 anymore.
No, he's not. He's not. Look, and if we're talking about a driving contest, like, Donald Trump's beating him pretty soundly. Because the one thing, again, while I don't believe that Trump is a 2.5, like, I've seen enough videos of his golf swing. It's not a bad move. He gets through it pretty quick. Like, he gets through it. He club face pretty square. It's a pretty decent golf swing.
But here was my favorite part of the entire exchange, Gabe.
Okay.
When Trump looked at Biden in the eye. Now, mind you, this was the most passionate part of the debate, which says everything you need to know about how the debate was and what it means for the world, and, you know, how everybody's laughing in America. And that's all I'll say about it. Trump looked at Biden and says,
I've seen you swing. I know you swing.
That's so good.
Like, what is, okay. When has he seen his swing? Have they played in events together? Is there video of Joe out there? Just like, there's plenty of video of Donald out there, because in his last presidency, it was well known that he loved to play golf while being the active president of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody with a phone, which is everybody in the world who had an opportunity to get video of Donald Trump on a golf course, found a way to post it. And in today's world, it can be found anywhere. And I've never seen video of Joe Biden, but clearly Donald has. Like, I almost feel like he truly means it when he says, I know your swing, and I wouldn't lose to you.
Like, the one thing that social media was blowing up with this is, all right, this is what that next match has to be. You know, I mean, and I think you'd have to spice it up with having them with playing partners, but I don't think that would do anything because the playing partners would just carry the day anyway. It'd just end up being the two pros. Like, these guys I don't think would contribute really all that much. But, like, would I watch if they did a match of Biden versus Trump? Yeah. Like, would that be better than whatever debate is going to happen again? Yes, of course. It would be wildly more entertaining.
Yeah, it'd probably be better than some of the matches we've seen recently.
That's
well.
True.
I mean, I would watch just for the sheer, like, I want to see how far off of their handicaps they actually are.
Oh, they're so far off
now,
their handicaps.
It's not going to be an 18-hole match. I can't do it for several hours.
No,
I don't even think I could do 12.
Give me six.
Give me six. Maybe even, let's go to a short course. Let's play a par three. And maybe they hit driver on par threes. Who knows? You know, I don't know. I don't know what to expect, but it needs to happen. And maybe it's the next debate. And let's just not go through whatever circus was on live television the other night. Let's just play golf and allow that to be the next debate. And maybe we mic them up. We throw IFBs on. We let them have the debate in a more comfortable environment for both of them.
As they're driving in their golf carts. Because, well, that's
the
other
thing. Yeah, like true smack talk. Like, I want the raw presidential match.
Biden asking Trump if he can carry his bag was also a highlight for me. Let's go ahead and listen to that one more time.
But by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
Do you think you can do that? Well, the problem is, Joe, I don't think you can do that either, bud. Like, I don't think either of you's carrying your bag anytime soon.
When was the last time you think either of them carried their bags? I mean, I understand what Joe is trying to say,
yes.
Right? Like,
yeah.
you're too pompous to carry your golf bag, I think is what he was trying to infer there. But it was so bad. It was so comical. Like, this was what led to the most passion and back and forth in that entire debate.
They basically called each other the worst president of all time for an hour and a half, and the only time anybody got fired up is when handicaps were questioned and whether or not who could hit the ball the farthest. That's the only time emotion came out.
One of us. One of us. One of us. And that's what I love about golf, Gabe, and that's why I wanted to talk about this today, because I don't want to talk about any sort of politics, but I want to talk about the fact that this great game that we love can find its way into any conversation. And that's what I my takeaway was from watching the debate. Yeah, it made me sad for our country a little bit that's what was
That's the best of the best we have to offer.
That was garnering the most attention from a presidential debate was their golf games and their vanity handicaps and whatever it may be. But, man, for us in the content business, it was gold.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, I've called Bryson DeChambeau the content king on this very program. Maybe it's Donnie. He's the content king we didn't know we needed.
But can he hit a driver off the deck? That's the question. Can he hit a driver off the deck the way Aaron Rye did this past weekend? What are some of the shots you wish you could hit? We dive into that coming up next. It's On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips. Time is running out if you want to head to Scotland, the home of golf, with me, Steven, and our friend Jason from Wisconsin Golf Trips, as Jason has put together an unbelievable trip itinerary. Just text GOLF, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776 to sign up. See the entire itinerary that Jason's put together to play some of the best golf courses in the world. It's a once-in-a-lifetime trip that you get to play some of these great golf courses with us that you will not forget. Text GOLF, 800-990-3776, and head to Scotland with us here on the Tee and Wisconsin Golf Trips.
You're listening to On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN. But I'm
thinking. Coming out of the air pretty quickly, but it's on a decent line.
Oh my gosh. What a great shot, but boy, is that brave.
That's what Aaron Rye, driver off the deck, sounded like, courtesy of CBS Sports. And things did not go well for Rye, as he ended up not being really in the mix down the stretch. But he hit one of the more memorable shots at the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit this past week. And if you didn't see it, I can't recommend Steven to go see it enough. I don't know if that was the intended shot, because it was a par five. If you didn't see it, he's hitting driver off the deck to try to get there in two. And the result was fantastic. He had a 20-foot look for eagle. There is a lake front left of this green that this ball came within 2 feet of going in.
There's no way that he intended to put it on that line. You need some luck on a shot like that. But, man, he almost skipped across the water and onto the green. It was that close.
Oh, it was just a bullet. Just a bullet driver off the deck. And that's always been a shot that I have been kind of scared to hit. I've attempted driver off the deck once this year, and it was with the encouragement of somebody that I was playing with. I was kind of in some trouble where I had enough where I could take a full swing, but I just needed to keep it really low. And the guy I was playing with was like, why don't you just try to hit driver? I mean, even if you swing, take a full swing, because a lot of times when you're trying to punch it through, it's a little different swing than your normal swing. You're trying to manipulate it a little bit more to make sure it stays low. And if you just take a full swing at the driver, it's going to stay low, I promise you. It came out great. But I've been, and again, that was out of the rough a little bit, so I felt like there was a little more buffer versus driver, tight lie, off the deck, in the fairway. It's a terrifying shot.
On the PGA Tour, with water on your left.
Just, because you're so used to seeing the driver head, which is just so big, you're used to seeing the ball up on the tee. It just doesn't look right when you put the ball, when you put the club head down and that ball's sitting on a tight lie in the fairway.
The only times I've ever tried driver off the deck are in scrambles, right? When you've got multiple guys giving a shot, and I was like, you know what? This is the time for it, right? Every time I have flared it right because it's so hard to square up your face and drive through the ball when you have that big of a face. The fact that he tried this on the 14th hole of a PGA Tour event
that he was in contention for.
Like, the stones? I don't care how much you practice that shot. Like, 283 and thinking, this is the time. I can't even fathom that line of thinking before standing up to a golf ball. And, yes, I don't think he intended to put it that far left. But the result is one that was maybe the highlight of a PGA Tour golf season outside of majors for me, was watching him hit that live on a Sunday and be like, wow, that guy just did that in that moment.
He turned it over. He had a draw. You talk about how, you know, most of the time if you do that, yeah, you're kind of hitting it with a little bit of a cut, a little bit of a slice, you know, so it's going right if you're a righty, left if you happen to be a lefty. He turned that thing over. That thing was a draw rolling up onto the green.
So I want to know, Gabe, what is the one shot that you are too afraid to attempt? Because for me, it's that. It's driver off the deck in a big spot. I would rather just be short, play the club, but I appreciate anybody's willingness to try a shot that might create a memory.
Yeah.
For me, I just don't think that will ever lead to a memory.
I don't know if there's a shot I'm scared to attempt. The one shot I wish I had was like the Tiger Stinger. Just because I've been able to work on being able to flight, and especially, I mean, last segment, I mean, we've been talking about it quite a bit, going to Scotland, as high as I hit the ball, like, I've got to be able to flight the ball, you know, at different times to try to get more of a penetrating flight into the wind. But the way Tiger hits that stinger, and the way it never seems like to get more than 5-6 feet off the ground, like, that's always been an inspirational shot that there's just no chance. There is... I could work with Butch Harmon for a year, and I don't think I'll ever be able to hit a shot like that.
And you might on the range, but I'm talking about walking up to a ball on the 14th hole in contention.
Sure.
And you see that, and you go, I'm going to try the stinger now.
I mean, the one that I'd probably be the most scared of is trying to hit something high and soft, like a little flop shot out of a tight lie on the fairway. Like, that's just a dangerous shot that you have to be so confident in that in a regular round, not going to be confident enough to pull it off.
If you're a regular who listens to this program, that is actually my nightmare. I have nightmare fuel trying to hit a tight shot
from the fairway,
throw a hazard in front of me, a little water that I need to put it directly over, front pin.
Yeah.
I might as well just pick my ball up and just drop it right in the water and say, all right, I'm going to take a drop over here and go back far and hit a full club. 50-yard over hazard to a tight pin, Just give me my double.
Yeah, that's that, and I think that's a tough one for a lot of people, or really just any flop shot in general, because you have to open up the face and you have to be so aggressive through it in order to get something high and soft. And so many people are just going to decel right through that because you're too scared of, oh, I'm going to hit this way too hard, blade it, and it's going to go flying.
Gabe, we haven't really had a chance to talk about my new weapon much on the golf show, my 2-iron that I now own.
Oh, you actually have it?
I have it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have it.
Well, so this has been one of those things, like, I mean, I think we almost go back a year. Like, when we went last year to Club Champion, like, you were thinking about it then, kind of had our friend over there at Club Champion put you together one, then you're like, okay, am I actually going to hit this?
Oh, yeah.
Then with the Mac Fun, because with the Mac Fun Ringer event every year, you get your choice of a new set of irons, or like a driver, fairway wood wedge, and should I get that then? What am I going to get? Maybe I should get this brand, that brand. It seemed like you had been hemming and hawing on actually purchasing this thing for a good 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't love my rescue club anymore, and I couldn't hit it out of the fairway. So I decided to go with it. I got the 2 driving iron, UDI, TaylorMade, if you're listening. And it might be my favorite club in my golf bag now.
Really?
And the reason I'm thinking of it is not to talk about my golf game. It's because I think it might be the club for you to try your stinger.
Oh, okay.
Bullets fly off that thing. I hit it.
I think that's going to be really useful for you in Scotland.
Yeah. It's useful every round right now because I hit off the tee. It's dead 245 off the tee.
Wow. So what did you take out?
The hybrid.
Okay.
And 245, like, with a good
roll. Oh, because it's rolling
right?
out,
like,
yeah.
I mean, when I'm trying to flight it, which I can do, I it's about a 225, 230 club for me right now. It's an incredible number in my bag. The gap that has been between my 4-iron and my 3-wood has finally been filled by this 2-iron because I couldn't hit a hybrid out of the fairway. I could only hit it out of the rough. And
so you
I can
say,
hit stingers with it is what I'm getting
at. Well, but even then, like if you had on a par 5, if you're holding a hybrid to get home in 2, were you not hitting that hybrid?
I was flighting a 3-wood.
Yeah,
I
so
was
trying to play choke like down a, on a 3-wood, try to take it, a little something off.
Yeah, a little cut 3-wood. And I'm not a good enough player to be like, let me control this cut. Onto the, I just need to grip it and rip it, so I now have the 2-iron. If you like hitting irons and you're listening, the 2 driving iron, and it can be in any brand, just try it. It feels weird at first. It feels like you're hitting a hockey stick. But man, you connect with that, and you have to be comfortable hitting irons because
yeah.
Truly, like, there's a lot of room for error on that golf club. But there's a little cavity to it, so it gives you a little bit more
forgiveness. Well, it's a little thicker. So it's, I mean, again, you're thinking like, you know, 2-iron. Like, it's not going to be a Tiger Woods blade.
Yeah, but there have been a couple of shots where it feels like a 4-iron in my hands and it sails like a 2-iron. I'm like, wow, that's fun. I'm excited for you to see it tomorrow, Gabe.
Oh, I can't wait to see that tomorrow. But I think that's actually just a good lesson before we get to what we're going to be getting into tomorrow. I think that's just a good overall lesson. So, again, if you have that gapping in your bag, getting fit is so damn important of trying to figure out what you hit well, what you don't hit well, instead of just going, well, I've always done this in the past. Because, again, things change.
Yeah.
And even if you like your driver, like your 3-wood, but there's some sort of weird gap there, and, you know, if you've been working on your game, getting lessons, whatever, you know, these fitting days, I mean, they're everywhere. You know, you don't have to belong to a private club. I know at Brown Deer, I was out there on Saturday, they had a TaylorMade one. They have these different fitting days. It doesn't cost anything. Just sign up. Go play around with a couple of things. It's a great way to be able to hit different clubs, see if something would fit into your bag. It's how I ended up for the longest time. Again, because I had weird gapping in my bag. I had a 3-wood, a 5-wood, and then I would go down to a 4-iron. Just had this weird gapping between the 5-wood and 4-iron. Drop the 5-wood, kind of have this 4-ish wood, and a 3-iron that's really kind of helped that out. And the only reason I know that is because, well, I went and you get fit. But it's just so important to have the right equipment, and that can kind of help ease some of these fears. Like, I really think, have you ever been fit for wedges?
No.
See, I think you should do that, man.
I know. You're right.
Because the different, especially in wedges.
I need a reset.
Yeah, especially in wedges to get, there's so many different grinds and bounces, and there's just so many different options within all these clubs. They can help with some of those fears.
Here's what happened when I got my wedges. I went to an event where there was a Titleist rep there,
mm-hmm.
and I had been recommended by many people, like Titleist makes the best wedges. And I was like, sure. I made the switch to a Titleist golf ball, and it actually was an improvement for me. So it's like, of course I'm going to believe in Titleist. A lot of people do. I went out there. Adrenaline was pumping. And I go out on a range. It was actually at Erin Hills at an event. And I told him what my, you know, I'm steep. I'm a digger. Like, I need some bounce. And I don't love my, I used to have a 56-60. Mm-hmm. I wanted to try 54-58 because I wanted to get to a right number with my 54 that could help me get over the 100 yards. Like, a 56 for me was only going about 90, 95.
Yeah.
I needed something at about 105 that I could bring down to 95. So that's why I went 54 and went 58 from there. And in 5 minutes, he's like, these are the clubs you need. You're good. And it was because I was swinging with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I was swinging with ease. And it was, I was like, oh, wow, this is it. It probably is it. Right, Gabe? Like, if he believes in me and he's like, I can see your swing path, these are the numbers you need, go for it. So I did get fit, I guess is what I'm trying to say to you.
Okay.
I just need to figure out how to get fit in my head.
Yeah, well, that's going to always be a tough part, is getting over that mental hurdle in the game.
I need a
golf
lesson. I don't need a fitting.
Yeah. It turns out there are professionals waiting to help you in that department as well. And I'm not going to lie, I could probably use a little bit of lesson the way my wedges have flown for me this year. It wouldn't be a bad thing to inspect. That's a good lesson for everybody listening out there. Speaking of Erin Hills, you always want to check out Erin Hills, erinhills.com, top 10 public course in the country, according to Golf Digest. You know how much we love it out there, and you know how much the USGA loves it out there. U.S. Women's Open, the countdown is on for their 2025 U.S. Women's Open out there at Erin Hills. Always learn more. Find out if you can book a tee time out there, erinhills.com. Golf can be frustrating, even for the professionals. How frustrated do you get on the golf course? We dive into that coming up next on The Tee.
This is On The Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
I fell for the devil's daughter. I jumped in, yeah, I drank the water. Down in toxic.
I'm going to be asking for us to put ourselves out there here, Stephen, because this past week at the Rocket Mortgage.
Isn't this show just therapy anyway?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
But again, putting ourselves out there, and maybe not the best of light, because even though there was a lot to talk about somehow from the Rocket Mortgage, Akshay Bhatia on three putting on 18, so he ends up giving away the tournament. We talked about Aaron Rye hitting driver off the deck. But another thing that got a lot of run was Cameron Young, who, despite being in the tournament, snapped his driver, I guess would be maybe the wrong term. Here's what it sounded like on CBS.
Oh, I think he five.
Cam Young. Let the candle!
Woo! Cam.
Oh, I think he just cracked the shaft. I think he just cracked the shaft of his driver leaning on it.
Trevor, he can't find the planet right now. Maybe that's a good thing.
So he didn't, you know, when you say snapped, like you think of Bo Jackson when he snapped the bat over his leg, that's not what happened if you happen to miss it. He just was frustrated because he hadn't been driving the ball well all day. And again, he's strong enough that he could do this, but he had put the head of the driver down and just put the pressure on the handle to the, it bowed. And then you could kind of hear in the highlight there.
Yep, I've done that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
You snapped a driver?
Yeah, and I thought I was actually, like, reserving my anger.
Sure.
But apparently the adrenaline was pumping a little too high, and I did the same thing.
So you bent the shaft of your driver to the point where it snapped or it crackled a little bit.
Yep, sure did.
What were the circumstances? Please share more. What was the story?
Oh, it was just a bad driver day.
There might,
been, there might have been some cocktails
there?
Involved in
sure.
College, University Ridge, I can tell you. exact course. Couldn't tell you which year, but I remember it vividly. Struggling, get the driver going, and I try not to throw clubs.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of throwing clubs.
Yeah.
And I've done that recently, too, and I hate myself for it. Yeah. That's like that's the lowest I feel on a golf course.
Well,
the moment
you do
after
it,
throwing a club
and you're
being
like, what the hell am I doing?
So, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. We've all done it.
I actually did it in the match that we talked about last week on the tee after I missed the two and a half 2 foot. Yeah. I don't. I could have been 18 inches. I don't know. I missed it, and may have sent my putter a few feet. But I digress. That's the lowest you feel on a golf course.
Yeah.
After you throw it and you look at yourself, and you're like, why are you taking yourself so seriously?
Yeah. Just what the hell are you doing?
So, back in college, again, a few drinks involved in this one. I did not want to slam my driver on the ground. So what I did was I kind of pumped it. And I like pressed it hard down into the ground, and I snapped the shaft in half. Just the force of like anger,
yeah,
adrenaline, frustration, and every
and alcohol.
Adjective. And yeah, maybe not feeling my face. And no.
Well, you couldn't feel where the face was, yeah, which is why you snapped it.
Yep, I snapped my shaft right in half.
Oh, man.
Not the only driver shaft I have snapped.
What? All right, so here, this is shocking to me, because the only Steven Watson I have ever known, and again, I think we've all been there where we've thrown a club or two. Like, I don't think you've played golf unless you have. And again, you feel so dumb and you're embarrassed for yourself after you do it. I've done it this year. This year hasn't been a great golf year for me, so I've been there. But the fact that you've broken two driver shafts?
Yeah. Don't let the
out of frustration?
Glasses fool you. There's some anger in there. No.
Some anger behind. Steven's actually the Hulk.
So both of the driver shafts that I broke, I wasn't intending to break them.
Yeah.
The other one was I hit, I remember sculling an iron OB. It might have been actually a wedge. And I had an easy shot, sculled it way over the green, OB. And I just kind of smacked my golf bag.
Oh, I've been there.
And the power in which I hit my golf bag, which wasn't throwing my club, but it was an outburst that was unnecessary, actually snapped the driver shaft in my bag. And that was a fun surprise to pull my driver out on the next hole. That it was actually broken right at the handle.
Okay.
Because I hit like the bottom of my bag and it snapped the shaft right at the handle. So I went to swing my golf club and it like snapped right at the handle where the rubber is.
Yeah.
And it like exposed. And I was like, what just happened? And then I thought back and I was like, I must have hit it when I hit my bag. And that's my Steven Watson breaking club story.
I think the same thing happened to me once where I hit a bad iron shot and I just kind of, hit the bag. And so then the next hole, we get to the next hole, take out the driver, and the tee box is elevated a little bit. You know, we were walking, so you set it down, and then you kind of walk up the little incline to get to the tee box. And I put my driver down on the ground, not putting a ton of pressure on it, as you put it on the ground as you're using it as a little bit of a cane, I guess, for lack of a better term, just to kind of get up the hill. And I put it down, and just falls right over. I'm like, and I had no idea what it, like, it took me till after the round to kind of figure out and just assume, because it was at a weird spot. Like, it wasn't at the handle like it was for you. It was still closer to the head, but I figured it must have been from when I hit my bag. It must have sent some sort of reverberation through the bag and that. But I think the most frustrated I've ever been, and I still feel so bad for this, and my buddy Mike, who's the pro out at X Golf, I think still doesn't let me forget it, where I was just, we went up to Island Resort a couple of years ago, in up there in the UP, and I was just playing terribly, just so bad, couldn't keep driver anywhere near the planet, and just playing so bad, like, I thought I was going to quit. Like, I just was having that little bit of fun.
Dark.
And I am being the biggest baby in the cart next to him. And he's just, like, God bless him. Like, he just, he took it. And then the last hole of the trip, we were playing Sage Run. And the last hole out there is a par 5. It's super downhill, hard dog leg left. I got home in 2, hitting 5-wood, 5-wood, and, lipped out for, eagle, made birdie, and then the entire time as we're driving back, and it's a decent drive back to the clubhouse, oh, you're going to quit now? You can quit now? 5-wood, 5-wood into par 5. Shut up, Knight. So what are you doing? and I deserved every last bit of it for the amount that I was just, and like, in retrospect, I'm just so embarrassed that I was that guy. like just clearly dragging down the guy I'm also playing with sitting in next to the cart. Like I'm making it, I probably made it not very enjoyable for him too.
At least you have the awareness to understand that you were that guy in that moment.
Yeah.
The worst are the people who don't realize that they can be that person.
Yeah. You know, it's a little too hot outside. You're getting, you know, so
Mr.
it just
Excuse
adds to
is
the...
not a fun guy to play with.
No, well, but I'm saying, like, it probably adds to the crabbiness of, you know, of everything. And it just, you're playing poor, you're a little too hot, and you're just, I'm just so embarrassed that that's the direction that went.
And he's a good friend for not letting you forget that.
Oh, yeah, no, never. Like, when we played up there last year, because we go up there every year, I guarantee when we go up there this year, because we've kind of grown... The year we went up there, there was just four of us who went up. Last year, we had eight. This year, I think 12 are going to go up with us. We've kind of turned it into a little mini event. And him and me are partners. Like, so we play, you know, all four rounds that we're going to play up there in the UP together. So, yes, I guarantee when we play Sage Run this time around, we're going to be driving down 18. And he's, remember we're going to quit golf? You remember that? I guarantee that's what ends up happening. Because, oh, and it just... I hate that, but that's what this game does to us at different times. It just makes you so frustrated. And even
though
the worst
when you feel like you're escaping and like this is something you should enjoy and it actually sends you into a worse place.
I've talked about this with Vince Vetrano over on WTMJ because he's a big golfer as well. Just talking about how, you work so hard throughout the course of the week. And then for fun in air quotes, you go, and I think he was talking about how he shot like a 46 on the back nine. He's like, yeah, this is fun. This is what I do for fun. This is so much fun, having so much fun right now. But again, we've all been there. And as much as I try not to be that guy, and I don't want to be the person that throws the clubs or threatens to quit the game that we love so much, it just really can drag you down at different times.
Yeah, but that's why you have good friends to keep you honest. Sounds like Mike... knows how to do that.
Yeah, he does. He's a good one for
That's
that.
That's like when I tease you when we've played together and you don't play well. I know when Gabe Neitzel is not playing well.
Yeah.
Do you know what you do?
Well, so the only reason I know that I do this now, and I'm now, I actually think about it, because last year when we went out to Erin Hills, I played, and I think I shot 36 on the front.
Yeah.
Was
incredible.
Yeah, played a really good round on the front. And ended up shooting a billion, whatever it was, on the back. And you mentioned to the camera, and it made the video edit. If you want to go check it out on ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube page, I start walking ahead of everybody else.
You walk by yourself.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's because now I realize, like, hey, you're starting to get crabby. Don't bring anybody else down. Separate yourself from the group. I'm a little more self-conscious about that when I'm playing now, because if you wouldn't have mentioned that on that video, I would have zero idea.
Friends do to each other, right?
I would have zero clue that that's something that I go out and do.
That's why I'm here.
Well, but yeah, and now you're going to be here. Turns out you get to play the role of Calm Gabe Down as my caddy tomorrow.
I've been reading. I've maybe even like started taking therapist classes online to really just get your mind right. I'm really excited for the opportunity to bring the best out of you on the golf course.
Really excited what we get to do tomorrow. We'll tell you about that coming up in just a moment after I tell you about the Bog. We're getting closer and closer to the ESPN Milwaukee Open. Of course, that's going to be out at the Bog Golf Course. Pay attention to every show here on ESPN Milwaukee for a chance to go out there and play in the ESPN Milwaukee Open with us while we'll be out there doing our show live. You can just go out there and play the Bog as well. Check out their website, golfthebog.com. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? No, you know how much we love golf here on the tee, and you know that I'm also a big baseball guy. Steven works around the Brewers as well. X-Golf and FanField, the place where you can combine both, and new this year, you can combine both sim time and game tickets all on the Brewers single game ticket website. Just go there, book your sim time, and enjoy one of the more unique things, I think, in all of sports, to have an X-Golf inside American Family Field that you can watch the game, get some swings in, enjoy the unique menu that they have inside X-Golf at American Family Field. Also new this year, if you make a hole-in-one while playing a regular round of golf at X-Golf and FanField, you and someone else get to go down Bernie's slide. Find out more at xgolfamfamfield.com. Excited for tomorrow. A, because I'm not even sure the last time you and I played a round of golf together. It might have been when we were at Erin Hills earlier this year. But we're not even playing a round of golf together tomorrow. Came up with this idea a couple of weeks ago We are going to caddy 9 holes for each other out at the Wisconsin Country Club. So stay tuned for that video that is going to come out and accompanying that. Very excited to kind of put something together. And it's going to be a fun, again, I'll caddy for you. I believe I'm going to caddy for you on the front 9. Because I'm going to be coming in kind of hot. Coming in hot for the tee time tomorrow. You'll caddy for me on the back 9. And we're just going to have a little fun with that. Do you think, how do you feel about your caddy skills heading into tomorrow?
Me as a caddy or me as a player with you as the caddy?
Start with you as a caddy first.
You know, I haven't caddied since I was a teenager. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to the opportunity to, I'm going to lean into it hard. And I think that... I'm actually more excited about caddying for you than I am about caddying, because I think we're gonna work through some things together.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
I got a couple of ideas in the works.
Got a couple tricks up the sleeve, you think?
Yeah, I do you want me to say it now, or do you want to wait until the golf course?
I feel like we should save it. I feel like you should save it for the golf course.
Okay.
With some of the ideas.
All right.
Do you really want it? Is it like eating you up inside? You got to get it out?
No, I'm just going to change you a little bit. I'm going to change your approach to how you're going to play tomorrow.
All right. I'm looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to this because I think I can. I think I feel as me as your caddy. I feel like we're gonna put up a number tomorrow in the front 9.
Okay.
We're going to make the front 9 yours.
I've been playing a lot of show and go golf, a lot of nap time 9s, as I've coined on this very program. And nap time 9 is usually I play the front, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because I don't spend a whole lot of time on the range. It's more of a show-and-go style. I haven't been playing the best on the front lately. It just kind of getting into the rhythm. I've been playing really well on the back. So I think I'm going to have a little range sesh tomorrow before you show up. I know you got some you know, obligations on the radio before.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be... I'm going to really try and get myself dialed in. Got childcare all set up, really fired out. I got some time to, like, for myself on the range.
Were you able to spin this as, honey, this is for work. Like, this
We're working tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's content, man. This is work, very much work. And, I'm going to get dialed in on the range, so I have no excuses, right? There's no reason I shouldn't be ready for you on that first tee when you come flying in. I just hope that you're ready. Like, I got to have your mentals right out of the gates.
Oh, I'm going to be ready.
Do you have some strategy in your head?
I do.
Are you going to change me at all?
I don't know if I'm going to change you. We're definitely going to talk through some things, I think.
Okay.
Because, again, you're too consistent of a player. I think I feel confident that we're going to be at or around par, if not under.
I'm really looking forward to my first 40-yard wedge with you.
Just walking,
because that's all I can think about is
walking through the 40-yard wedge.
Is Gabe going to help me, or is he going to put more thoughts into my head and the yips are only going to get worse? That's really what I'm thinking about, our partnership.
Yeah, I'm hoping you nip that first one real good and then you just feel solved.
I think something special is going to happen at the golf course tomorrow.
Whether that's going to be you or me, I have no idea. I'm just really, I think this is going to be a fun experiment.
Maybe it's a big bird. Maybe it's another revisit in the pond.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you this. If one of us makes an ace, we're both jumping in, right?
Yeah, I mean, we...
Well, I guess unless it happens on 4.
We're out playing golf for content tomorrow.
Like, yeah. Except, I mean...
We're not even jumping in the pond. We're swimming all the way through the pond that runs through the course.
The only hole we couldn't do it is if somebody makes an ace on 4. That's the only par 3 out there at Wisconsin Country Club that doesn't have any water.
Yeah,
and there's like no water like anywhere near it.
Well, I hope we have that problem where we have to come up with an idea.
that you make an ace on 4 tomorrow,
because
exactly. that would be
Oh,
your,
that would be me. That's
that
right.
Would
I
be
have
you.
The front 9.
You've got the front 9 tomorrow. All right. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. At the end of this, who do you think ends up being the better caddy? Is it me or is it you?
You.
Who do you think ends up putting up a better score?
Probably me.
On their respective 9. Yeah. I'm feeling really good about that, too.
And I'm only saying that because I feel like you're battling right now
a
little bit. I'm going to do my best to bring back the Gabe Knight soul I know is in there. And But I'm more saying me because of the range session.
Because you're going to be nice
and
loose. Yeah.
You know, you're
I mean, a range session.
You're still not hitting a golf shot until you walk on the tee at 10.
But even, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even if I got a warm-up session, like, I've got 9 holes to caddy before I would hit another shot. The range session wouldn't really do me any good anyway.
That's true.
But I am certainly looking forward to that tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We're going to have some teammates out there.
We are.
Going to be documenting some video.
I don't know how quickly the video is going to get turned around, but I've got a feeling it's going to be one of the better video content things that we put out there.
We're going to wear everything on our sleeves tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to live it together. Everything we've talked about on this program, we're going to get to see it for each other. We're going to have witnesses there.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, I think there's going to be a special shot somewhere that we're going to be talking about next week.
We'll find out if we talk about that next week. We'll review it all, talk about everything happening in the world of golf right here on the team.